When last we left the Signature Six, they had taken a deal with Sinclair Steam Locomotives to return with their missing engine. With a rail wraith in tow, having offered their guild hall and their companions as collateral should they fail. You're about to set off on your journey. Before Carol, walking back from a nice breakfast out of the guild hall, probably walking with like a coffee, you just look up and you see four of the Signature Six kind of headed out of town, looking a bit unsure of themselves.
What are y'all off to?
Down south? I believe it's south.
Mm-hmm. What you going for?
Doing a little trip for that Sinclair steam engine, taking that rail wraith, and then bringing it all the way back. 2 weeks.
You sound a little tired. I had a nice rest, had a couple days away.
Must have been nice.
Did some reading, some research. That sounds like good. Do you need some help? Can I join you guys?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
Extra hands.
Are we
would
splitting
be nice.
This even?
Yeah. Everything kind of goes, I figured, into like a little community pot for us. So.
Good deal. Well, should we hit it? What are we doing? What's the plan?
Yeah. I'm just going to kind of take it by foot until we get there. Probably about a week. You got your walking shoes?
These are my only shoes I got.
He's got his loafers.
Best of luck.
As you set off on your long journey south, you will reach Hemwick before long. You won't get there today because you're on foot, but it's in about 2 days you'll be in Hemwick. So your initial night on the trail will be just sort of out in the open. But as you set off, headed through the various fields that surround Fletcher's Roost, passing the various powder mills, the strong stench of a almost gunpowder-like substance kind of burns your nostrils as you're walking around. As you see the vast orchards of many, many powder mills as you head off and along. Your first day's pretty quiet. You've got some clear weather. No impediments to your travel. And as such, you do make the anticipated level of progress for you. Just to say, just north of about 2 hexes of travel. You're halfway to Hemwick before the sun begins to set, unless there's any conversations you'd like to have on night one.
I'd imagine we would be... This is the time we would fill you in.
Yeah, Carolyn on everything that's gone
specifically.
Down.
Yeah.
Be like, do not go in there.
We're enemy of the church.
Do not.
Church debt. Yeah. Mausoleum's bad.
Yeah.
So you ended up tracking down that guy you saw in the well?
Got to about the spires area where we think he popped up out of the sewers. Thought he'd traverse into his little ghoul collar place, but turns out we were wrong, and he wasn't there, at least when we got to the mausoleum. Had a few choice words with the head whatchamadoo, and then...
Yeah, that's not like the actual title of the person that was there.
Yep.
I don't know what the answer to that is either, but they did not get along.
Nah.
And are we still after Lonzo then? What are we...
As of right now, no.
Trying to make some money, get that dollar...
Yeah,
we ended up okay.
Failing that bounty, I guess. So, decided to pack up shop and try something else.
Okay.
Yeah, we kind of lost our lead. We didn't know where to go from where we left off at.
Well, in this world, money is a good place to start.
It's true, and if he leaves Fletcher's Roost, at least we can make haste and follow by train, maybe. Hopefully. I sent a letter to my brother who has helped develop steam engines. Hopefully he can help us make one ourselves or repair one.
Is this the same one that knows the language?
No.
That's
no. Different. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm the youngest of 8.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of us.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on this journey.
Good to have you back.
Did you learn anything new? While away.
While away.
While in your room.
No, you know, I think I'm just trying to map out the region and where our Gjallarhorn horn might be. So really just trying to get some money, to get those funds so that we can go and find that. Mm. But no progress yet.
Do you think they're far away from here, or is it local and that's why you wanted to come to Fletcher's Roost to begin with?
It's pretty close. It's pretty close, I think. Definitely in this area. Mm-hmm. But unlikely that we're going to find all the pieces in one spot is the problem.
That's
true. So we've got to find some clues.
And you have, you said, a piece.
That's right. Yes, we have two pieces now of the Gjallarhorn.
May I see it?
Yeah, yeah, please.
I'm going to look at it. Flip it around. No, I'm not blowing into the...
Can that be my...
Him just really trying to play like a trumpet mouthpiece.
And it's the same language as the scarf. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just going to like cross reference with the scarf and see if there's anything.
There are no like one-to-one synchronicities between the two.
Yeah.
But they do all bear the same structure of both language and the formation of these glyphs.
You could tell it's not like Arabic and Korean.
Correct.
Oh, yep. Right.
They are written in the same... It's definitely the same language or dialect, but it's different words. Different meanings.
Have you shown this to Faraday?
Yeah, I think so, right?
I don't even remember.
I don't know.
Well, there's never been a better time.
Take a look at it. So far we know, I think, two portions of it and what they mean.
Yes, he immediately recognized the writing on this scarf. So perhaps...
So I walk over and I take a look at it.
Yeah.
And just say, yes, it's my native tongue. Or ancient writing, I should say. We should send these symbols back to my friend Bigby.
All right, well, maybe we should get this rail wraith and then we can get this to Bigsby.
Y'all caught up in info? Carol?
I think so.
Yeah, you guys have the option of either camping right along the rail line, which, as long as the rails are quiet for the night, is one of the safer places to be, because you can at least see everything around you. Or if you wanted to go off either into, like, onto the tree line, but that puts you in the territory of the orchards, where you might, you know, there might be some gunpowder laying around, it might be a little volatile. Or you can just camp in the fields nearby, either or. The options are there for you, depending on where you want to be.
10 yards or so into the tree line, and he's going to do his usual trap setup to cover the inner perimeter, so if anything sneaks up on us, they're going to get got.
All right. Yeah.
He'll implement the bear trap in there, too.
I'm going around, taking very high 30-foot jumps, grabbing some dead... dead branches, floating back down to the ground, and I set up two fires, one where Buck's sleeping, and then one where you guys are sleeping.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
Thank you, Faraday.
You're welcome.
For such a gentle creature. The fire near the orchard.
Did you just call that man?
How near to the tree line are you? Would you like to start a fire?
Because they're gunpowder.
They are.
Oh, they are gunpowder?
Yeah.
These
are coated in gunpowder.
Oh. I was going to leave it open in case anybody wants to explain it to you, but because Faraday would have no way of knowing other than when you get there, the powder mills themselves are fruit orchards in which powworms nest. Mm. And people go out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because part of one of the jobs available to you was
to collect
tamers to go out there and collect the discarded powder. Because they call it flash powder, because if it's exposed to fire in any way, it just goes up and explodes. But the powerms themselves will survive the explosion.
Giving my
there's
gun
what
knowledge.
I'm saying is there's a strong smell of something just volatile, and there's just scatterings of like gray dust all along the tree line. So it's a common sense thing more than anything else. But yes, it's fair enough for Buck to also warn you if you're going around like sparking up a fire. The further away from the tree line, the happier you're going to be long term.
Buck's good with just the tree. He'll stay warm by the fire over by them until he's ready to go up, and then he'll crawl up in a tree. So I'm good.
Perfect.
And yeah, my plan was to jump up in a tree, so...
There you go.
We'll chill out.
You take one
tree,
I'll take the other side of the tree.
Yeah. There's enough tree to go around.
Yeah.
Plenty of trees.
Yeah.
So many trees.
Okay. I mean, unless Faraday wants to cuddle. Buck's open. Body warmth.
You ever cuddle with a mummy?
With a blood mummy?
You ever cuddle with a mummy in the dark moonlight?
I mean, we do have that flask we can toss to each other if we need to.
Oh, that's
to
fair.
Warm up.
Yeah.
So we do have
it's like a hot flask.
Yeah.
Yeah, hot potato.
That wouldn't cause any sparks, right? Because it's just it's just hot, like hot water. Yeah, you know?
It's just heat.
Cool.
Do you get powder on yourself in the trees?
Oh, I want to blow up, baby.
Oh. He's like, good with that.
That's home for you.
I have already been burned. I know the pain.
Yeah, he's good.
Burn
good.
Me once.
Shame on you. Burn me twice.
Shame
that's
on
my
me.
Bad.
Yeah. Your first night, it's pretty calm. It's pretty peaceful. Faraday, you're sleeping up in a tree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Same.
As the sun will rise, the two of you will have a little critter kind of resting on your chest, very coiled up, very, very oddly. It's a very dark gray little bug fellow. They've sort of spun a little bit of string across you, and there's just a soft coating of light gray dust resting on both of you. They're about yay big, about a foot, maybe less. They don't weigh that much. They're not sleeping, necessarily. They seem to just be enjoying the warmth of you being up in the trees.
Just
Buck and Faraday will have multiple little powworms that have kind of made a little nest on them through the night to enjoy some of their warmth. They don't make any attempt to assail you. They're just curious and cold. But as you start to stir, they'll make their way back up into the branches of the tree above you.
Yeah, I'll just start plucking them off like, excuse me, pardon me, gotta get down.
I definitely jump up like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah. And you've got a little fella just kind of large eyes just beaming into your face.
And I guess I grab one that's the closest to my chest and look at it as I sit up. Yeah. And then I just set it back down.
It wriggles uncomfortably, and you put it down, and it's like it kind of inchworms its way.
They seemed harmless.
What? As tea is just coated in them. I allowed them to suckle upon my flesh.
Well, I was on watch. I didn't want, you know.
Yeah. There's nothing particularly hostile about them. That being said, Probably smart move for the two of you to dust off before going anywhere near fire.
100%.
But Carol, Adelaide, and T sleeping further afield, you'll have no worms on you when you awaken. Carol went first, so Faraday, you get to be second. You get to roll a d12 for today, for the day's travel.
There's 12.
12. Okay.
We all explode.
All right.
The earth opens up.
Very exciting.
Goodbye.
So the bear trap is unactivated. One of the little rope traps has been triggered. However, nothing is ensnared within. But something was near you. Could be anything.
Can be a boat.
Could be those worms. Hmm? Could be any number of tiny creatures. You know from your keeping of a farm that on occasion, cablasts do roam the area. It's pretty rare this time of year for them to be super active away from a homestead. There are many wild pigsties around. It's possible it could be a gore. If you want to...
Any prints?
If you want to
tracks?
You want to look for tracks?
Hey, baby, you know I do.
There are several tiny hooved tracks near you that you gather. It's probably, yeah, a small group of pigsties. Given that you're staying in an orchard, they typically do just feed off whatever falls out of the trees. Any pears or apples, peaches, anything like that. They just...
Heading in our direction or just kind of around?
Sort of all around.
Okay.
They seem to have given you a wide berth other than that one trap that was sprung, and they just sort of steered clear for the rest of the night. They're not a huge fan of fire. Most things aren't.
Beautiful.
But
are they visible?
I'll disarm it.
Tracks?
The tracks are
the no,
tracks
the
are
pig
visible,
styes.
But the pigsties, no.
Okay.
But it's pretty obvious. There's like a bunch of little tiny impressions, and then looks like something was rooting around. Some scatterings of some stuff's been eaten.
Okay.
But otherwise.
Yeah, I'll just pack everything up and then catch up with everybody.
Okay. Day two's
trail.
Yeah. Day two is where you will run out of nicely well-traveled path, because once you reach Hemwick, most people don't go any further by foot. The choice is yours. You'll reach Hemwick by probably 3, maybe 4 o'clock today. The choice is yours if you want to stop your progress or if you want to press on camping outside of town. Mm. But Hemwick is your last chance to be anywhere civilized for 3 to 5 days, depending on your pace.
So we keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Yes.
While it's true, and I do agree, it may be worth just checking to see if there's like a little cart or something that we can use on the tracks to get there quicker. Just a quick look. If there's nothing, we keep going, but that something like that could save us a good amount of time.
Would I know, being the ex-sheriff of Hemwick, that there's something like that there?
Yeah, there's hand carts at every major train station. It's just a matter of convincing someone to let you use it.
I'm scared.
Their livelihood?
Well, for...
Let me have your cart. Okay, jeez.
Well, I used to be the sheriff here of Hemwick, so I can try to talk to the...
Pull some strings.
Now sheriff, see what I can do. See maybe if we can borrow one and then bring it back when we bring the train back through here. And go have a little chat. I will find my former deputy and now Hemwick's acting sheriff, Elliot Thompson.
Mr. Winchester, sir.
How you doing, buddy?
Welcome back. Welcome back to Hemwick. You're back a lot sooner than I anticipated. And with a lot more people than you left with.
Some too familiar and too new.
Too right.
Just passing through here, doing a little job for Sinclair so we can get some coin. I'm a little shy on some, so.
Well, Sinclair's a good place to start.
Ain't too shabby, I guess. Would you happen to have like a little hand cart that we could possibly just borrow? You know I'm good for it and bringing it back, but you know I also don't want to put you out of anything if it may impede anything.
Yeah, for old time's sake, why not?
This guy's so charismatic.
You are. You're a wonderful, wonderful kid, Elliot. I appreciate you.
Learn from the best. Take your handcart. It's in the, you'll find it.
I know where it's at. I'll make my way over.
Did you see how easy that was for him to do?
He did also know the man.
All right, let's, we're good. I got a handcart. Should probably cut the time a little bit in half, but that's going to be a lot of,
it's going to be tiring.
Motion.
Yeah.
To get it going.
Especially
so.
If you're all on there.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of weight.
Yeah.
All right, muscle boy, you're up.
Muscles.
All right, so then it's a handcart, so we're basically
doing
this.
It is a handcart. It is a two-person job. The total might will determine rate of speed that you are able to go hours you're able to do it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do one of these things.
It's just Adelaide just going up and down. Oh, this is really hard. Adelaide and Faraday make an endurance test and an endurance test.
12.
12? Five? Okay, so a total of 17. There's five of you on there, so you're going to make 3 additional hours of travel in the time that you have before nightfall.
Which that's is good.
Not yeah. bad that's for solid. A for like a 2 p.m. onward push. Okay. So you'll get an extra about half a hex of travel.
Okay.
So you guys will actually end 2 hexes south of Hemwick.
Excellent.
Pretty good travel time for the second day.
While we are cranking this handcart, yes. I would like to observe Faraday's arms. Having seen him summon Bud and they glow, yeah. I want to see if there's anything that he is doing to like augment his strength.
Mm.
Like if I can see the physical shape changing or the yeah. color changing in that regard, yeah. I will keep an eye out for that.
I'll put the flavor up to you, Faraday. Is there anything special that happens while you're going? You can get saucy with it. Mm-hmm. You are a summoner.
If you not want, not no particularly pressure. Any augments to my strength as a summoner. Mm-hmm. But I will say, Sai-Ai, when he is in the Rift Kit, he is always constantly, like, the purple is constantly moving. Mm. Most of the time, it is hidden under my chest, but when I'm moving, the purple kind of moves around my body.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. It's a somewhat unpleasant journey. The cart itself is a little squeaky. It's kind of loud. But it saves your feet. You don't have to walk as far. You will eventually hit a point where you probably have to clear some snow to keep going, but that's a problem for future you. As the sun begins to crest very low as you're on the very fringes of the powder mill orchards, you guys' arms are burning, getting tired. It's probably a good time to either switch out if you're going to try to sleep on the cart, it'd be a rough night, or you could just stop it and rest.
I mean, if you want to keep going and make quicker time, I don't mind taking a shift, seeing how far we can get, and then if it gets to be too much, just kind of call it there, maybe gain another hour or two. I don't know who wants to pump the iron with me, but...
I don't think I'll be able to sleep on the cart. I'll be pretty useless tomorrow if that's what we do.
I'm just saying for an extra hour. I'm not saying go all night.
No.
Yeah. Up to you guys. Whatever y'all want to do.
I'll help you for that hour.
Okay.
Make a little more time.
Sure. Sounds good. Carol's got a really easy day coming back.
Carol's like, I am 55.
I've done my
time. Had 2 knee replacements. I have tennis elbow. No. It's the two of you are going to do one. So, same deal. Give me endurance and endurance. How'd you do? One.
Natty one.
And a 2?
2.
I don't think we're doing the extra hour.
Yeah.
I think we're just backwards. Calling it.
We're calling it. Where Faraday and Adelaide kind of got into a routine where Faraday was doing probably at least 60% of it, but Bean is there for emotional support, so you at least have that kind of goofiness. Buck and T, you realize how tired you are just from the prior day of walking, and in general just the last few days. You don't make that much progress. You don't get very far.
You know
far.
What? I think a good night's sleep is better than
you guys are
progress.
Kind of like having trouble syncing up and you're kind of like fighting each other with it.
You go down when I go up.
And at a certain point, it just becomes easier to just try again tomorrow. Your night begins. You may make any camp preparations you would like to make. The cart itself is off the tracks, so you don't have to worry about that.
I am setting up another trap. Make sure we're all secured.
Okay.
Just do
what's in our surroundings? Do we have trees again, or is it
yes.
just...
You are hitting a point where the trees are going to get narrower and narrower.
To where so it's on both near, sides.
Yes. You okay. are currently near a mountain range, which you can see peeking through the trees. As the powder mill orchards end, you start to get into just normal like pine trees and stuff.
So we're in, are we still in the orchards or are we in pine trees?
You are
now?
Like right on the edge of where it's going to transition. So you can see the edge of the orchards themselves. There's a little bit of a clearing and then you have natural woods. So you're kind of just in a little
like a V?
Yep, kind of. Yeah. You're in the hex right now that is between orchard, tree, and mountain.
Oh, beautiful.
So I turned to Buck. Think this is safe to set a fire up?
Yeah, it should be all right. I'd still keep it a little bit distance. Closer to the track, the better.
All right. So I'll set up one fire for us to warm up to.
Do you think you could help me put up my sleeping stuff? I can barely feel my arms after all that cranking today.
Yes.
He's like, oh, me too. I'm so tired. Like, Carol's like, couldn't possibly. I am beat, guys. Wow. Listening to that cart racket all day was awful.
I got such a killer headache.
Oh. He's just, he like cooks a whole meal. You guys going to make anything?
I can do a first watch. You guys worked hard today.
Well, look at you.
I'll wake you up in a bit.
It's like 40 minutes. Yeah. Has it been long enough? I'm bored. Can you do something? Can you pull your weight?
I hope it's not too personal of a question, but I'm just curious. I can barely literally lift my arms up, and you're still just building fires and stuff. And again, if it's rude, I apologize. But given what you've been through, is it difficult for you to, like, I don't know, like work out and build up your muscle and whatnot, or?
It's definitely, it's not difficult. I have been very, I guess we've built things in my village by hand and did a lot of work by hand. So my arms don't get very tired. Mm. Yes, I am tired, but they're not sore enough that I can't use them.
That's good. Yeah. I cannot reciprocate that.
I'm just yoked.
Just absolutely goated with the sauce, bro. Incredibly jacked to the nines.
Do you, like, change your bandages very often, or is that, like, the same one you've had since your skin melted off?
When Bud bandaged me up, my bandages turned into what you guys call a rift kit. And he has used this as his rift kit pretty much ever since we met. And so I don't take it off.
I'll take final watch since I'm kind of an early riser anyways. So okay. Whoever wants to do one in the middle or what have you.
I'll have Bud out because Bud's been sleeping all day. Okay. So as I
lazy bones.
As I get up into the tree, I let Bud out so he can keep watch as well.
Okay.
All night. Second pair of eyes the entire night.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm just passed out already.
Good to know.
She really did. I'm so tired from trying to move that cart.
Yeah.
All right. So, Carol, you're up first.
Yes.
Carol, what do you do on watch? How does Carol pass the night when he's just sort of keeping an eye and an ear?
I think he's probably got like a little like smoke. What he's going through.
A little stogie.
Like a pipe?
Or
like,
a pipe. Okay. A pipe. Oh, okay. Yeah, a little pipe. That's more on brand.
What's in the pipe? Is it nicotine? What is it?
These are good questions.
The good stuff.
That good kush.
That good
kush. The good stuff. The
cider special. Yeah, closer to that, I think, okay. Than nicotine here. And he probably like flips through a book he has, you know? So he's not like too locked in to his surroundings, but okay. He's
keeping an eye.
Yeah.
An ear.
Okay. You're chilling near the fire. You've got tea, probably just conked out, maybe snoring. Who knows? Who knows how tea sleeps? Adelaide is sleeping the sleep of the proverbial log, having peddled you guys a pretty far way today. Faraday, probably a pretty light sleeper given your time in the Monowin. You're much more comfortable where it's hot. So being out here in all this snow is just a nuisance. And Buck, as far as you know, is just like leaned up with his hat over his eyes. He might be awake. He's
just
staring.
His eyes open for
he
sure.
He's just doing this all night.
Yeah.
Staring at you unblinking and he just... You're like, is he growling at me or is he asleep? I don't know. A little ways into the night, you hear the sound of the bear trap. But it's otherwise pretty quiet. You're kind of looking around. Give me an awareness test, if you'd be so kind. Unsurprisingly, you're all human. So at night, in the dark, away from the fire, it's just darkness. There are many not many stars in the sky, so you've got a decent amount of starlight, but it's kind of hard to make out details from too far away. But in a tree nearby to where Faraday has posted up, there is a bit of a shape in the tree line. Humanish. And there's a big kind of motion as it sort of grabs the tree that Faraday's in. As Faraday, you are shaken awake. Carol, you see this large shape as soon as it shakes it, just sort of scamper off. And despite its prodigious size, it disappears very quickly. As Faraday, you are rudely awakened.
Well, what was that?
There's only the sound of your breathing. You see Carol kind of peering into the darkness towards you. If you were to look down into the snow, there are very, very large tracks near the tree that you're sleeping in. As suddenly, flying overhead, extinguishing the fire, is a large winged cocoon of a thing that flies low, and as its wings flap, the flames themselves seem to kind of soak up into its body as the campfire extinguishes, leaving Carol standing in front of a smoking pile of logs as a sort of glittering moth-like creature flies overhead, leaving behind a beautiful, if haunting, trail of orange sparks, but leaves you standing in the dark, only with the starlight and a little bit of moonlight above you. But you hear Faraday proclaim from the still shaking tree. What was that?
Oh, Faraday, I don't know what I saw, but it was a giant shadow of a creature, and it was shaking the tree. I think it was coming for you.
Is this what this orange dust is from?
That was from I think it was a bird. I think it was some type of other creature.
And I turned to Bud and asked him if he saw anything.
At 11, his eyes are better than both of yours, but he doesn't have any more answers for you. He's equally curious to both happenstances.
Did you see what direction it went in?
That way.
I just peer off and see nothing.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Into the darkness of the tree line, those tracks, there's about 3 large bounding steps between, as if something were maybe jumping. The distance is much too far. You could make it, but you can fly. You've got your sort of hack to do it. But anything else would have had pretty substantial difficulty, given the depth of the snow, to move around that quickly and that quietly. However, the sort of flying creature is still relatively nearby. So you can still see that kind of firelight trailing off of its back. It sort of flies around overhead. Never going too far from the orchard, staying near that tree line.
What do you think we should do?
I don't think we should engage, but we definitely need to keep an eye. Because if we need to get moving, we need to get moving.
You think we should wake people up or light the fire?
We can try lighting the fire again and see what happens.
Okay.
So I'll light it up again.
Okay. You relight the fire, and there's a lovely sense of comfort and safety as the fire reignites. You can see your surroundings again. Your eyes readjust. There's no sign of that large shadow off in the distance, but that big moth-like creature swoops down again and collects the flame into its wings. It seems to be just delighting in delighting your fire. I wasn't going to do it, and then I realized what I did. It's getting brighter and brighter, this moth-like creature. Carol, how often do you read about Riftkin? Your call.
Yeah, a fair amount. Yeah.
Let's do between the two of you that are awake. Mm-hmm. I'll say you can do history or you can do taming. Just your general interactions with Riftkin, given where you are, sort of what's going on. The two of you are able to piece together, given what Buck has told you about what they harvest here, the powder. You had a pow worm on you. Pow worms become kabooms. Kabooms become boom moths. Boom moths delight in fire and are nocturnal. And quite prominently keep their general area safe. So you gather, this boom moth is just going to be kind of a jerk and just put out your fire every time you light it up. But in the darkness, Adelaide and T kind of pull in a little closer. Even Buck kind of pulls his coat a little tighter. Everybody's just starting to chill up.
Freeze to death.
Our boom moths question, are they generally friendly to humans or are they generally
It depends on the nature
unfriendly.
Of the interaction. So I'll say you got a pretty good roll. If you harvest the powder sustainably, they have no issue with you. But when they feel threatened, they don't bother to like ask questions or be diplomatic in any way. All that you know about them is that they are capable of dropping an incredibly volatile and sticky substance that will just burn everything it touches. It's effectively like napalm meets thermite. It will burn hot and fast, and it is almost impossible to remove until it has run its course.
Okay, bad idea. My idea was to light the fire again and then run up the trees and then try and jump on its back.
Oh, wow. Fly me to the moon.
I'm like, I'm here. I'm oh.
I was going to attempt to befriend it to get it to stop, but I don't want it to melt everybody.
I mean, you could try.
I thought you were gonna say like try to get it to like melt some snow on the tracks for us.
Ooh.
If you want to turn your taming role into an interaction with this critter, it's not too far away. You just have to get its attention.
Do I still have the torch that I was carrying from? I would. Wouldn't
it would be back. Extinguished, but yeah, you
could light the torch back up to get its attention and try and try
Come
to
here.
Interact. I don't want to start a fight with it, though. That's my biggest thing is I don't want to.
Yeah. You're gonna offer it like a gift.
The gift of fire.
The gift of fire. Sure, let's go for it. Let's see what happens. I'm gonna try and get its attention by lighting the torch up.
You guys are just sleeping through this.
If we die,
I'm just very curious about this guy.
Yeah. Okay. You strike your torch as the boom moth very quickly kind of spins around and flies low. And it's got this bizarre, almost like predatory bird-like face printed on its wings for intimidating lesser beings. Neither of the two of you are lesser beings, so you're not intimidated. As it's floating there, it seems to be staring at the firelight like a moth to the flame. Makes no attempt to steal your fire, but you've got its attention.
Now I got to figure out what I want to do.
You there! Hello! Come here often?
Is it loud? Like, is it unreasonable?
It is like a silent critter.
Okay. Mm.
It flies. It almost sounds like the crackling of what's left of your campfire.
So we could 100% sleep through this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Depending on how loud Faraday and Carol choose to be in the next few moments.
So, I guess I'm going to attempt to walk very quietly, not quietly, but like peacefully over to it with my hand up, with my torch in the other one. There's no fighting. I'm trying to give it the peace signal.
Yeah.
Universal. And
yeah, like the universal, I'm throwing the white flag in.
I mean, no harm.
And I'm going to try and put my hand on it in some way to touch it. I'm curious about this creature.
Okay. You did a good job taming to get it down here, but now is when it gets real.
Okay.
So now that you've pulled it in close and you want to attempt to put a hand upon it, it's going to be an influence test against its intuition test.
Uh-oh.
Carol's just like backing up slowly.
He's like, yeah. This is where my expertise
could
is
be in luck.
This one's you, Faraday.
18.
18 is much better than 3. So as you approach
low bar
with peace in your heart and a torch in hand, Your hand rests upon the soft, squishy forehead of the boom moth. It's not particularly hot to the touch, though there are traces of flame all around its wings. But it's just sort of hovering there. There's a subtle, almost fuzz quality to the top of its head, though it looks as though it's plated in, like, armor. It's got a very rigid, almost metal-like structure to its body, and yet it is soft to the touch.
So the metal part question, is that natural to this Riftkin, or is that unnatural to this Riftkin?
That is natural to the Riftkin.
Okay.
It looks very angular and very metal, but it is soft and organic all the way through.
I turn back to Carol, and I go, he's kind of fuzzy, but he's not warm. I kind of like how he feels.
That's great.
As he's still stepping
really,
back.
Really happy for you.
You should come over here.
It's flapping its wings just enough to stay airborne. And it's just trailing off these little orange wisps of, like, sparks of fire.
And these sparks of fire are pretty warm, or are they not?
Oh, yeah, it's fire. Yeah. It's like the crackling of a campfire.
Okay.
As they kind of disperse in the snow, causing a little bit of sizzle and steam beneath, but not like an egregious amount by any stretch.
So then I guess I'll say to it, because I would assume that most Riftkin can somewhat understand what we're trying to talk to him about, or maybe gesture to please leave the fire going.
That'll be another influence test, because while Faraday, prior to this moment, has no idea if Riftkin can understand humans, he will learn one way or another. They definitely don't. They have no idea what's going on. But go ahead and give me an influence test as you're like, please leave the fire alone. And it's like...
11.
11 is much better than 2.
Wow.
And as such, it seems to understand. Okay. And it kind of flies a little ways further away from you and just kind of returns up to the sky, flies over to a nearby tree and just rests atop it. And despite the fact that it's still sort of leaking these little flames, it doesn't explode. Even though there's gunpowder all across these trees, it manages not to ignite.
So then I guess I go back and relight the campfire and just kind of watch to see what it does.
It's different one.
Damn it!
It This is a bit of a weird analogy, but it looks like an addict that you are holding the source of its addiction in front of.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes no effort to steal your fire this time. But those large owl-like eyes on its wings just stare down at the two of you. And yet its actual face is like a very tiny, like, little V smile.
I can't believe you did it, Faraday.
Yeah, I think it understood me somewhat, but I kind of want to tame him. But I don't think I can. I think he's a lot stronger than me.
Mm.
And Bud.
Yeah. Would probably be true. It has the power of napalm, I think it said.
Would be a useful addition.
Maybe we can try that in the morning.
When it's sleeping.
Kept napalm.
And then I hop up in another tree that faces the boom moth.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching it for a little bit before I fall back asleep.
Yeah. It watches over you with the ambivalence of a child over an anthill, but otherwise does not seem to be threatening to you at the current moment. It just sits there, just watches the firelight dance down below. But Carol, it's a bit unsettling. There's just a moth the size of like a large dog floating in a tree above you. You're like, oh, okay. This is fine. This is fine, Carol. Your life is not falling apart. The moth will leave you alone. But otherwise, your watch is pretty quiet. Pretty uneventful. Other than the incredibly eventful appearance of a dog-sized moth. Yes. But you managed to... One, you managed to turn around exhaustion for yourself, Faraday. You smackle Dorf to an encounter that was designed to exhaust you for the next day by making friends with a monster that would steal your fire. And you keep your friends from having a restless night of being cold. But Carol, you start to get tired. It's time to wake someone up. Whoever you so choose. However, I will say, given that Faraday has been awake with you for a while, if Faraday takes the next watch, he will be tired tomorrow.
I think we know where we're going to, Buddy Buck.
Okay. Buddy Buck.
How do you wake Buck up?
Get up right now! Wake up!
God, that'd be wake up. Terrible.
Get up! Get up, man! Get up! Look at the moth! Get up!
I just, walk over to Buck and give him like a Buck, and then hit him on his shoe, tap him.
Yeah, because he's like sitting with his like feet crossed like this, so I'm assuming you'd probably like kick the top one off.
Yeah, exactly.
And he'll kind of just stumble awake and adjust the hat and go, huh, what's up?
Buck, I think it's your turn, man.
All right, yeah. All good?
All good, but watch out for that moth over there.
The what? Oh, good.
Don't
Lord.
Worry. Faraday talks to it, it's fine.
Noted. All right, yeah, sure. Uh-huh. The mummy talks to moths. Fun. All right, enjoy
just
your sleep.
Day.
Yep. Buck will just go on a... he'll patrol like the kind of camp. He goes on a very... if Carol is up for like a few extra minutes, you can see Buck kind of walks around like very militarized, like that he kind of like walks through, makes sure everyone's good, and does like the same pattern, and then he goes and checks his line. He kind of just does that throughout almost the entire night.
He's like, take notes.
If you were to walk your trap path, you would see that the bear trap has activated, and there are some immense depressions in the snow leading towards and away from your camp, but not particularly far beyond the range of that bear trap.
Okay. Do I see how far into, like, deeper in that they go?
It starts about 8 feet further than the trap coming in,
mm-hmm.
and there are no signs of it leaving. There's a big depression here, activated bear trap, big depression here, as if something were perhaps hopping.
Okay. Any fur or meat or anything within the trap?
Nope.
Does it look like anything triggered it, like would have put like a stick in the center to then close it?
Yep.
Okay, thought so.
There's a big stick in there that's been snapped in half. It's about the size of a femur.
That's a big stick.
Like diameter?
Yeah.
He'll just kind of, he'll reset it. For the time being, since it's like the beginning of his watch, and he probably has 3 hours probably until sunrise.
Something like that.
Just reset it just for precautionary, and maybe see if that thing comes back, because it's... You never know. There's no prints that live, so it could be still in the area. Mm-hmm. So he'll reset it, and he'll kind of keep a more closer eye on it, because it seems like something knows that it's here.
Your watch is pretty quiet. You've got a boom moth nearby,
mm-hmm.
just staring down. It's got that same weird little smile. It's sort of locked onto Faraday, but anytime you move around in the area, it keeps an eye on you.
Yeah, given the family business, probably something that Buck's probably used to seeing frequently.
Yeah. They're unsettling when they're outraged, but otherwise they are pretty fascinating critters. Sun will start to crest over the top of the mountains nearby, kind of blinding you over the peaks of Sojourn's Staff. As for tea in Adelaide, it was a great night. Got a little cold for a while there, but otherwise pretty pleasant. However, next to tea, Adelaide, and Carol, there is a nice fresh apple sitting next to the three of you with no context.
And these two are... You're in a tree.
He's up in a tree.
You're doing routes.
Yes, and he's walking around.
Okay.
But the three of
within,
you...
Within, like...
Within, like, eyesight and earshot, yeah. There's just a nice, lovely apple near the three of you.
How nice of them to leave food for us.
Yes, perfect. Thank you, Buck.
Yeah.
I take it the watch was pretty uneventful, and I'll take a bite.
But, yeah, it's remarkably fresh, given the season. It's an out-of-season nice apple.
Peculiar.
But, yeah.
Beautiful.
It's just kind of sat almost so that it's the first thing you see when you awaken in your camp.
That seems like a very Buck thing to do for us.
Eat. Eat.
Yeah.
Eat.
I'm just going to smell mine before I take a bite.
It smells pretty apple-y.
I knew that was coming.
Faraday, on a branch of the tree that you slept in, a little ways up, impaled on a sort of outstretched little jut, an apple has been jammed onto that tree for you.
I look at it, and I ignore it.
Okay. That's Buck's really gift weird. Has been rebuffed.
Is that Buck's gift?
I don't know. Is it? is it Buck's gift?
If you ask Buck.
I don't know, dude.
I already thanked him for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. I didn't leave the apple.
Was I coming on that counter?
Wasn't me.
They caught me in the air trap. It wasn't me. They caught me in the treetop.
What do you mean? It's like, take another bite.
I don't know where you guys got those apples from. Was it? I don't want to say it now, but I didn't do it.
Do you want a bite?
No, I'm good.
They're really tasty, like really good.
I'll just stick to my dried meats.
Super juicy. Do you not eat like fruits and veggies? Or are you just a meat?
I'm a vegetable rights activist.
I mean, I usually eat like steamed vegetables with like steak or chicken, stuff like that, rice.
So with the meat, but not like by itself, like you would need.
Vegetables are a side. Nothing more.
I mean, if they were ever made for me, I'd do it. But no, I typically just grew vegetables and then sold them. I don't eat my own produce.
Well, if you didn't get one, I'd be happy to cut mine in half and you can have
it. I'm good. Just make sure y'all eat it all. Don't waste any.
If this wasn't you, then what?
Did you find it? You were on watch first, weren't you?
I did not see any apples. We did see some other stuff, but no apples.
Yeah, there's a giant moth right there.
Oh. Is it still there?
Is it still there? is it still awake or did it go to sleep?
It appears to be sort of nestled in. It's no longer like at the top of the tree. Mm-hmm. It's now like in the branches up there. Mm-hmm. You can still see it. It's like a bright orange wings, but yeah, it's just kind of wings folded down. Still nearby.
Saw a bunch of big old meaty footprints, though, that kind of came in from the woods and then didn't leave. And I did quite a few rounds within a couple hours, so I didn't see anything. But, I mean, these things are massive, and they seem to spread, what'd you say, like 7 feet apart?
Yeah, it's as if something was jumping a substantial distance.
So you didn't see who put this here at all?
No, nothing. Any footprints near where they're at? That's really bad. That's a 9.
A 9? There's no remarkably huge tracks near you now. There are some man tracks leading all around.
Mine.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe, but yours are boot tracks. Like cowboy boot tracks.
Okay. And
these are like normal boot tracks. They're all flat, even keel. They're not... They don't have, like, the heel to them.
Okay.
Was it just us? Like, you got an apple, and I saw you got an apple. Did you guys get apples?
There was one up in the tree by me. Like, it was... Is it, like, an arrow, or is it, like, staked in?
It's like, stuck onto a branch
stuck
so that
branch.
It would be nearby.
Stuck on a branch. I don't know if it fell out of a tree, or it doesn't look like we have an apple tree right here.
They're pretty juicy. Did you eat yours?
No.
And why not?
I don't like apples. Personally, I love apples. Faraday does
down,
not.
Write that down. Did you learn about Faraday?
Did you leave it in the tree?
Yes.
Do you care if I take it?
Sure, I'll go get it for you, and I'll just float right back up and bring it down.
Here. Thank you very much.
Should I see if the moth saw anything? Because the moth, so we had that shadowy creature, which is what woke me up. And then the moth seemed to have distracted it, or what seemed to be have distracted it, and then sucked our flames from the campfire out.
It did suck out all the phlogiston from your campfire.
And yeah, he talks to moths.
So
for some reason, that doesn't surprise me.
Should we? I mean, I guess you could use Bud to communicate as well, but. It'd be worth going and seeing if the moth could point us in a direction of whoever put these there.
Do we have time to even go thank them at this point?
Probably not.
No.
Thank you for the apples.
There's a deep, resonous voice from a little ways into the tree line. You're welcome.
Oh!
However, only Carol and Adelaide will understand him.
Yeah, Buck just, he'll just draw out his revolver.
There is no need for guns.
And that's still in...
Still inside.
Okay. It's okay. You don't put your gun away, Buck. It's not.
If I wanted to put a hole in your friend, I would have done so while he was sleeping.
He says he's friendly, and he's who gave us the apples.
Why?
What? Do you live around here?
I do. I walk these roads and trees. They are my charge. I am their warden.
That's really cool. Can we meet you? Or are you like...
Yes.
Trying
I was
to hide?
Looking to make a softer introduction than to startle a group of sleeping strangers.
Oh no, the apples were very tasty and I liked eating it. And I would like to thank you in person.
Emerging from behind the tree is a bear of a man. He's nearly 7 feet tall, quite wide, easily 300 pounds, but is absolutely ripped. He's wearing a variety of thick, dark furs and large, wide snowshoes. And with every step, the snowshoes themselves depress a pretty far way into the snow, matching many of the tracks that Buck and Faraday will have seen near the tree.
Because of the snowshoes. Hmm?
But he's just that heavy.
Yeah.
He just sinks. I am Teo, and these are my woods.
I'm slowly taking out my little knives.
It's okay, don't attack him. His name's Teo, he gave the juicy apples.
For what purpose?
Just to be nice.
I'm just kidding.
And then I'll nod at Teo in appreciation.
Right, that's what he said.
That is what he said, yes. He's our friend Teo, right? Teo?
Yes.
We're friends.
Teo.
And you oversee this area.
Yes, these are my woods. Your friends speak the new tongue.
They do. There are new friends, too. Hmm.
Well, new friends. Where are you headed? What brings you to Teo's wood?
Oh, we're just passing through on the train track, trying to get to Ravensong.
Ah, Ravensong.
Have you been there before?
No. Mm. I do not stray far from my woods.
Do you have any dealings with the moth and the trees?
There are many boom moths in my woods. I take a live and let live approach. They are feisty when antagonized.
Well, we had our friend Faraday talk to one and make friends with it, I think, is what happened.
I observed this interaction. He did well.
Are you translating that for me?
He said you did good.
and probably very broken, like kindergarten level in that native tongue, I'll basically say, sorry for the trap.
Ah, the metal teeth. They were easily avoided.
Oh, he says no problem. It's all good.
I understand what he's saying roughly.
Yeah. I mean no disrespect, but these are my woods.
None taken.
If I were to place the metal teeth in your living room, you would likely see them.
Game recognizes game.
Do you think we'll have any trouble getting to Ravens?
That's where we're going.
I do not anticipate you having trouble reaching there. If you need a warden to tag along, I am happy to watch from a distance. Though you are in good hands.
Stop.
Game recognizes game.
Well, he's offering to tag along with us. From a distance.
From a distance.
From a safe distance.
I don't know if we can keep up with the
I do not wish to ride on the squeaky machine.
That's a bummer, because that's what I was going to suggest.
Do you have any other recommendations for travel?
That is the fastest road available to you, unless you are good with these Riftkin. You seem to be.
True, but I don't think we have any that could hold one of us, let alone the whole group.
I have one nearby. However, they are not keen on humans.
Maybe he could, like, pull us on a rope from a distance.
If you wish, I could arrange a meeting at the edge of the wood.
I don't think there's a reason to say no to it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Is there anything you'd like in return?
Just that you respect the wood on your travels through.
Always.
I will arrange this meeting. They will find you at dawn tomorrow.
So there may be another way to get there quicker, and it's a Riftkin, and we will meet them tomorrow morning if we would like the help.
We're abandoning the cart.
No, we'll still take that for sure. I don't even know if they would like pull the cart or whatever, but...
Does that mean we need to stay here?
No, we keep going.
You will reach the edge of my wood by nightfall, given the rate at which you travel. The squeaky machine's noise travels far.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so we'll keep going on the track. Yeah, go ahead.
We'll keep on going on our journey with the squeaky thing, and we will meet up with Teo's friend at the end of the woods.
Yes.
I'm assuming you're translating, you guys.
Yeah.
Does the friend have a name?
Not that will matter in any meaningful way.
We'll have to ask him when we meet him.
I do not believe you will be able to discern it any more than I can.
Okay. Why doesn't it like humans? Do we know?
It is very solitary, and the last time people were in the wood, they cut it down.
That's fair. I wouldn't be happy if someone came in and ruined my home. But we are only trying to get to Ravensong so we can get a train engine and bring it back to Fletcher's Roost. We have no intention of doing literally anything in the woods other than go through it on the train track.
Very well. I should warn you, rest near this roadside. Do not stray far into the wood. There is a beast I am tracking. The Silent Stalker. I have had little luck finding it lately.
Is it like a really big beast?
I do not know. It slew 6 men.
Whoa.
Not more than a week ago.
Around here?
They were clearing the tracks.
Was that around here?
Yes. Not too far from here at all.
You're sure it's a creature? Not a person?
A person that kills with such impunity is little more than a creature.
Ask him what are the signs.
You will hear a loud roar and then you will be dropped. That is all I know. There are many men on their way north. I do not believe they will pose a threat to you. However, the Silent Stalker so far has enjoyed groups. Large groups. Which is why I kept watch over you through the night.
Thank you for doing that.
Appreciate it.
It would not do well to have more bodies stack up in my woods.
Do you know this group traveling?
I do not. But they are a free company.
Any specific insignias?
You will know them. They are an old house. The two of you that speak the old tongue will likely know it. There is one among them that is not like you and I. Do not draw its ire. Let it pass.
One of the people?
It will look human, but it will not act as such. Pay it no mind.
So it sounds
draw no
like,
attention to yourselves.
Yeah, sounds like we just avoid all hitchhikers and keep on our keeping on. Well, thank you, Teo. You have a very kind heart.
Nature is a good teacher. Travel swiftly. My friend will meet you in the morning.
I am undoubtedly curious to meet your friend.
It is out of season for them, but perhaps they will make an exception.
Good to know.
Stay warm.
You too.
And you. Buy your metal teeth. Some more food. And he'll rise to his full, enormous height and size. And just kind of scamper off. And you'll notice that around each of your feet, the snow seems to be a little less dense. A little easier to trek through.
He just dropped that we would come across a person that acts and looks like a person that is not a person. And this guy is huge.
Yeah.
So taking that knowledge, I want to immediately flip the script to a degree and see if he is pretending to be a person.
That would be medicine.
Okay. Good.
Kind of odd that somebody speak that language and be this far away from it. I mean, I could say that about the two of you, but somebody that doesn't speak the native tongue that claims this to be his woods a little odd.
I feel good.
Helpful.
Yeah. He's looked out for us once before. I think he could do it again.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had like somebody watch over me while I sleep like that, though, from a distance.
If he was in any way malicious, he could have easily done
for
something.
For sure. He could rip me in half with his pinky and thumb.
Like, yeah, probably.
I trust him enough.
The apples least. Were good.
Yeah.
Really good.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know if it got lost in the Grover shuffle, but he was wearing a lot of like dark, dark furs and hides, and he had a wicked-looking like mega crossbow on his back.
Does it look to be all like makeshift, like that it was like naturally made?
It looked like metal that had been bent by hand.
So he said he's the one that shook your tree, right? That you were saying?
We should have confirmed that. We didn't ask, to be fair, but it stands to reason that probably.
Yeah, my cider folk talk is a little on the rusty side, so I kind of picked up every like third, fourth word kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. He was definitely the one that triggered your trap, and at the same time, I heard the tree shake.
Okay.
It's the only thing I want to relay that he said, just to make sure everyone's absolutely clear, is pretty much if we go north, to just not talk to many people that are headed the other way. I don't really feel like playing the chance game and just...
No.
Let's just go get our train so we don't have to worry about it.
I agree. Everybody good?
As you re-rack the cart, prepare for another day on the tracks. That's where we'll wind it down for today. And we'll say thank you so much for watching. We'll pick it up in a few weeks for us, but next week or 2 weeks from now for you guys, depending on the week this comes out. And we'll pick it up as you guys resume your journey towards Ravensong, having encountered Teo, soon to meet Teo's pal. But thanks, everybody. We'll see you then.
If you enjoyed this episode of Riftkin, please consider leaving a like on the video to show your support. If you'd like to see more of the Signature Six and follow along as we continue their adventure, why not subscribe to the channel? If you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can follow the links in this video's description box to our Patreon. From there, you can join the discussion in our Discord server, check out the post-show, still rolling, catch the new pre-shows, now airing on Wednesdays, and see extended versions of each episode a week early. Let us know in the comments below what you thought about this session of Riftkin, your thoughts about Teo, and Faraday's courting of the Boomoth. Thanks so much for watching. We'll catch you next week as the Signature Six continue their journey by rail, anxious to meet with Teo's friend and avoid the attention of any unknown beasts along the way.